Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With the holidays upon us, you've probably got a house full of people or are about to. Keeping them well-fed and happy is the key to maintaining holiday harmony. Melissa Passanen writes for the Savervore section of the Burlington Free Press and is here to tell us how to handle breakfast and brunch as friends and family arrive. Melissa, it's great to have you back at the VPR Cafe.
Lovely to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me.
At this time of year, when many people are focused on big holiday feasts and evening parties, why spend the energy on the morning meal? Why not just grab a bunch of bagels and cream cheese and be done with it?
Well, you can do that, of course, but I kind of think if you're going to have family, it's nice to do something a little bit special, but something that won't overload you because it's likely that if you're hosting, you're doing a lot of other cooking. I also think that brunch is kind of a nice change, a different meal to entertain with. So I thought I'd look into that and chat with some experts and see what they thought about it. Plus, I really like brunch, so it was kind of selfish.
A lot of food gets prepared during the holidays. So how do you minimize that food waste during this time?
So I talked to Liz Ehrenberg and Nathan Moore. They are the owner and chef of The Gleanery, a restaurant down in Putney, which folks might recognize the name, The Gleanery. It refers to gleaning, which means to gather what might be left over in the field after the harvest. So I loved what Liz said to me. She said, don't think about leftovers as leftovers. Think about them as new ingredients. And that's a really great way to use them in all sorts of meals. But I think breakfast and brunch are particularly adept at using leftovers, reinventing them. Like something I kind of like to do is an omelet bar where you whip up a lot of eggs and then you put out a little bit of leftover meat, cheeses, vegetables, and then people can choose what goes into their omelet. So that's a really fun thing to do for a smaller group. And Nathan actually had a fun idea, which he was a little bit reluctant for me to mention because, of course, he is a chef. But he did admit that he sometimes will buy refrigerated crescent rolls. He has a stepdaughter who apparently loves them. And if you just take those, or you could do it with pizza dough, and fold, you know, a few cubes of cheese, maybe left over from an appetizer platter, a few shreds of turkey or ham from a holiday roast, and fold around those and bake them off, you've got these lovely little filled crescent rolls, and that you put a basket of those out. It's like perfect and easy, and who even knew that those were leftovers?
That's a brilliant idea. Okay, there's also the logistics of having all these crazy things that you need to serve the food. So how do you manage the mechanics of these meals?
So on that question, I called up Lindsay Campbell Lighthammer. She is an amazing woman. She's director of catering and events for the Farmhouse Group in Burlington. And she can run an event like nobody's business. So she said, do what you can the night before. Obviously, pull out the platters and bowls. Make sure everything's clean. She also mentioned that if you don't have enough plates, there are really cool compostable ones now you can buy made with bamboo or even palm leaf. And they have a really nice look, and then they can be composted, which is kind of cool. Also, you can go to Goodwill if you have enough time and get plates. They can be like a dollar a plate, and it's actually really fun. And then if you need extra chairs or you want to rent plates, I did find out through Lindsay, I never knew this, that places like Vermont Tent Company, which I think of them as being for big events, but I called and checked, and they will rent like 20 plates or super critical, I think, and I needed this last year. I wish I'd known, a coffee urn that will make like 35 cups for $20. So there are lots of different ways you can deal with all of those basic logistics. And then just one more thing Lindsay had to say, which I thought was so critical, was also don't forget about ambiance. She says she likes to play quiet, sort of nice mood music, nothing too polarizing. And she says candles and evergreen branches. You don't need to be fussy about it all.
Mm. I'm already in the mood. This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With me today is Melissa Passanen of the Burlington Free Press. We're discussing making breakfast and brunch during the holidays. Melissa, what are the keys to being able to serve breakfast or brunch and still mingle with your guests?
So obviously, you're interested in recipes that can be made ahead. You don't want to be stuck at the stove flipping pancakes or at the waffle iron. So those are probably not your best bet. I talked to a few different chefs and also folks who make breakfast for a living. So Luke Iannuzzi, he is the breakfast part of the Bed and Breakfast at Wilder Farm Inn in Waitsfield. He and his wife own that. And one of the things he does for guests there is he mixes up cheddar grit. So just use a quick cooking grit or masa, polenta, those are all pretty much the same thing, and put in some nice Vermont cheddar. He serves those with eggs, but those will hold really well in a slow cooker, and then serve those with bacon on a buffet. And he says, I said, so do you make your bacon in the oven? Because I know that's a trick. And he said, I wouldn't make it any other way. Just put it in the oven on a sheet pan. So that's like a jelly roll pan with an edge. It stays flatter. It doesn't shrivel 400 degrees. You can do it till it's almost done, but not quite crispy. Hold it off to the side. Brush it with a little maple syrup or brown sugar to amp up the, you know, funness of it and deliciousness. Pop it back in right before your guests arrive.
And give us a couple breakfast and or brunch dishes that people flock to your house for.
Well, I am a big fan of both of these things. And I also got some specific combination ideas from a chef, Jonathan Davis. So he is the chef at the New Starving Artist Cafe in South Burlington on Shelburne Road. So he said both frittatas and stradas. For those who don't know what those are, they're both sort of egg-based casseroles, for lack of a better word. So a frittata, I explain most easily as a quiche without a crust. And a strada is somewhat similar, but it's more like a savory bread pudding. So it's the same sort of egg mixture, but you usually have hunks of kind of a good sturdy bread that give it more substance. So Chef Jonathan suggested a couple different flavor combinations. Like he does a Mexican frittata with, you start by sauteing tomato, onion, garlic, and some jalapenos, no seeds, unless you want to really heat people up. And then you soften those in oil, and then you add the eggs and some cheese. Another flavor combo was onion, spinach, roasted squash cubes, and goat cheese. And then for estrada, I mean, these could work for either. He's done estrada that is with mushrooms, thyme, rosemary, roasted Brussels sprouts, and maybe smoked cheddar. And he also does a chicken sausage, apple, sage, and cheddar combo, which I think would be delicious. So I'm getting really hungry. How about you?
I'm totally ready for the holidays.
And there were a couple extra little fun touches I thought I wanted to mention. So Liz of the Gleanery said a really easy way, even if you just go buy muffins and scones, do your own little butters, like a cinnamon butter or a maple butter in a little pot. Just looks really nice and extra touch and makes people feel like you are happy that they're there.
Melissa Passanen writes for the Save Before section of the Burlington Free Press. Melissa, thanks for joining us again at the VPR Cafe.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.